Today, the fourth Sunday of Lent, I share with you some thoughts from the Gospel reading. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Good news, isn't it? And I know that we are all ready for some good news. We are now well into the season of Lent, which started on Ash Wednesday. And it seems like it was just a few days ago, at least for me anyway, but it's actually been over 3 weeks. And at the beginning of this 40 days of penitence, the ashes that were placed on our foreheads reminded us that we are dust and that our bodies will return to the dust. And I don't know about you, but I seem to be going to so many funerals or celebrations of life recently, up to yesterday, actually. And so, at the beginning of Lent, we got that gentle reminder, which we hope will keep before us. But some Christian traditions stress the importance of giving up something for Lent. But we might also hear about another approach to add a Christian discipline to our rhythm of life, which we hope will continue to Easter and beyond. In other words, Lent is really just a trial run, a rehearsal for what we hope will happen. Some people call it a pilot project in business and in other spheres of life. The Christian disciplines of prayer and fasting are associated with Lent. And one perspective is that we grow in our relationship with Christ by communicating with Him, and that we learn more about ourselves by giving up those things that may distract us from our association with Christ. We learn that the Lenten discipline of self-denial could help us to identify what actually prevents us from a deeper relationship with God and what stands between us and our sisters and brothers in Christ. Lent, then, with its focus on repentance, is also a time to re-examine the foundations of our spirituality. And today's gospel teaches us about forgiveness. Today's gospel teaches us about reconciliation. And it also teaches us about God's love for everyone. So here Jesus tells us about a son who thinks about his father's love only after he has rejected it and gets into considerable difficulty. And that's not unlike me, and perhaps not unlike you, that quite often prayer is used as a last resort, isn't it? As opposed to being our first response. So when everything else fails, we go to God in prayer. But in fact, prayer should be our first response. The story of the prodigal, the extravagant, the wasteful, the reckless son is a generally well-known parable and could be taken for granted, as we know things that we hear over and over, sometimes, or we see over and over, sometimes they are taken for granted. But I'm challenging each of us today to look for new insights as we reflect on this gospel reading. We learn that the Pharisees, a religious group at the time of Jesus, looked down on publicans and sinners. So Jesus told three parables to show God's interest in those who are disapproved by the religious authorities and by society in general. You might have noticed that we did not give the full three stories today, otherwise the gospel would be a bit too long. And you might have also noticed that the reading omitted verses 4 to 10 of Luke 15. But I invite you to have a look at them. Of course, not now, at some other time. Like the other parables, however, today's story focuses on what was lost and describes a serious situation of the younger son's lifestyle, which led to desperation. And here in the parable, we are also introduced to the elder son, whose behavior in the parable is like the Pharisees. We are also introduced to a gracious and forgiving father who celebrates the recovery of what was lost and highlights the extent of God's love. So I ask you today, with which of these three main characters do you most identify? The younger son, perhaps? He demanded his inheritance. He squandered it and then tried to maintain his pride and independence by taking any job he could get. However, when he was at his lowest point in his life and was truly desperate, he came to himself and made the decision to return home. We can all speculate on what it might have been like and what it would have taken for him to make the decision to return home. But in the end, he was seeking forgiveness for his faults, and he was seeking reconciliation with his family. He was seeking a second chance. We know that the gospel reading reminds us that his thoughts were on back home. He said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger." The younger son was at a turning point. He acknowledged his mistakes, and he trusted, or perhaps hoped, that he would be welcomed back home. My friends, there's a bit of the younger son in all of us, isn't there? As we too have made mistakes, and we are all sinners seeking God's forgiveness. Many of us also struggle with how to ask for forgiveness of others and seek reconciliation. And now we look at the elder son. The elder son stayed at home. He worked faithfully with the father. He proved his loyalty. He proved initiative. And he was certainly obedient. But he was also quite disappointed because he felt that he was treated unfairly. And it's a natural tendency, isn't it? But perhaps he was also judging the younger brother based on the younger brother's past mistakes. So he became angry and refused to join the celebration. We know from the reading today that the father reached out to him, pleaded with him, and explain the reason for the celebration. But at the point in the story where the gospel ended, and I must say, anywhere in scripture, what we do know is that at that point he refused to participate. We do not know the eventual outcome, but we can only speculate on the many possibilities. What we do know is his initial response. I'm suggesting today that there's a bit of the older brother in all of us, isn't there? The older son could not understand the father's generosity. And we too are often self-centered in our approach to life. Sometimes we prefer to remain in our own little world, thinking about ourselves, rather than about serving our neighbor. There are times when we have the me-first approach that takes on many forms in our society today. Do we believe that rights and freedoms are for me and not for my neighbor? Do we believe that rights and freedoms are not for someone who has another opinion or perspective? Do we believe that rights and freedoms are not for people in a different economic or social group? Could we perhaps resist the urge to make ourselves the center of everything around us and look at the needs of our sisters, the needs of our brothers, the needs of our neighbors, and act accordingly? I challenge each and every one of us today to remember and to practice placing Jesus first, others next, and ourselves last. Yes, joy, J for Jesus, O for others, and Y for yourself. That's our challenge for today. But we must move on to the Father, the third main character in this story. The father responded to a request from the younger son to give him the share of the property that he would eventually inherit. That's quite a request, isn't there? I am not sure how I would respond if my younger child, my son, came to me and made that request. I'd probably be tempted to ask him, well, how about your sister? But that's another story. And I'm sure that you're reflecting on that yourself if you have two children. However, this son left home with all of his inheritance. What might have been the thoughts of the father? On one hand, the father might have been supportive of the son's initiative to branch out on his own, exert his independence, and make a life for himself. But he might have been disturbed or concerned, perhaps, but trusting or hoping for the best. Now let's fast forward to the son's return home and listen again to Luke's account of the reunion. So he, the young son, set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. The father forgave him, welcomed him back, and celebrated his return. And in response to the older brother's objections, he expressed his love for both children. To the son, he said, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." My siblings, my sisters and brothers in Christ, we too can be assured of God's love for everyone, and he welcomes us back, unworthy as we are. So the younger son showed willingness to ask forgiveness and to trust the father to welcome him back. The elder son showed loyalty, obedience, and faithfulness. And the father not only forgave, but he wanted to build bridges of understanding between his two sons and to welcome others. So allow me to share three summary ideas very quickly as we wrap this up. The first thought is about repentance. Repentance. Like the younger son, we must acknowledge our mistakes and take personal responsibility as the first step towards reconciliation with God and with each other. Secondly, forgiveness. In the story, the father's response is contrasted with the older brother's. The father forgave because he was happy to forgive, and he was happy that his son had returned home. But the brother refused to forgive because he seemed bitter about the unfair treatment that he experienced. His resentment separated him from the father's love, just as the younger brother had been separated through his time away from home. So, my friends, we are all encouraged to forgive as we expect to be forgiven, and to share the joy of God's gracious forgiveness of all who come to Jesus. repent, forgive. And we must thirdly rely on God's promise, because God's promise is of reconciliation is evident in the open arms of the Father running towards his Son. God's arms are open in an embrace of joy, in an embrace of forgiveness, and in an embrace of compassion. It has been said that we all want good judgment and the use of common sense when it involves others. But for us, we would like to have mercy. Isn't that so? The Pharisees and the scribes who were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them," could not support God's mercy to tax collectors and sinners. And they appeared to have the same attitude as many of us, and as the older brother, and others who have always tried to do what is right. So here we have one brother who does what is right, who obeys the rules, and is appalled by the father's forgiveness of his wayward sibling. But God's mission through Christ is to reconcile each of us to him and to each other. God is ready and willing to forgive us, and we must also be ready to seek forgiveness and to forgive others. So as we continue our journey of faith during this sacred season, may we be models of the Christian life with an emphasis on forgiveness and on reconciliation with others. And may we recommit to following Jesus and find clearer meaning and purpose for our lives. Our lives. For God forgives our faults and our weaknesses, and we can depend on God's never-failing grace and his love for each and every one of us. And to this we say, thanks be to God. Amen.